Scientists say global warming is expected to affect food production and economic growth in Africa and the developing world. It's caused by carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases and leads to a loss of food crops because of droughts and flooding, which are increasing in number and severity. Adding to that, forests, which absorb carbon dioxide, are being cleared for wood for cooking or to fuel charcoal-powered electricity plants. Forests are also being stripped to replace depleted land for farming. Shanta Devarajan is the bank's chief economist for Africa. He says the World Bank is working to boost food production in Africa and curb the effects of climate change. Another economic grouping of countries, the G20, is working with the World Bank in an effort called the Global Partnership for Agriculture and Food Security. Devarajan says it's expected to build on World Bank projects that have helped countries increase their agricultural productivity by up to 3% per year.
We also have programs of improving infrastructure so farmers can get their produce to market in places like Burkina Faso and Tanzania. Maybe another example would be, this is Malawi, is a program to provide weather insurance to farmers so that they actually get compensated if there's a bad rain, and then they pay into the program when there are good rains.
The bank is working on a number of projects to help countries adapt to climate change. Devarajan says they include improving soil fertility and protecting forests. He says African countries like Chad, Tanzania, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo could actually earn money by preserving their forests, that is, by not cutting down trees. Ecologists say forests are carbon sinks, that is, areas that can slow climate change by absorbing carbon dioxide. Under a current proposal to control emissions, industrialized countries can avoid penalties for their own high levels of pollution by financing efforts to limit deforestation in developing countries. The World Bank is also encouraging governments to end counterproductive policies like subsidies for water-intensive crops. And Devarajan says there's a renewed emphasis on using hydropower rather than coal to produce electricity, a strategy already in place in Ethiopia.
Ethiopia is basically following a very clean energy strategy by relying almost exclusively on hydro. It actually replaces the use of bioenergy before, which is basically cutting down trees. So now if you can provide electricity to these homes, they'll cut down fewer trees. So that's a double benefit. And also that enables them to manage some of these water resources better. So Ethiopia, for instance, as a project, it's still in construction, but when it comes into play, it will connect Kenya with Ethiopia on the same river, on the Nile, on a Nile tributary. And this will also have the benefit so that you can actually share water resources and minimize the risk. So if there's a drought in Kenya, the water can flow into Kenya, and then if there's a drought in Ethiopia, it can flow the other way.
The bank recently announced it is spending more than $3 billion to promote renewable energy like hydro and solar power. But some NGOs have criticized the institution for also doubling the amount it spends on projects using coal and other polluting fossil fuels. Devarajan says the intent of the bank is misunderstood.
The important thing is that we only do that when that's the only option left, when there are no other alternatives to solve what is an emergency situation. You risk, for instance, in a country like Botswana, that unless they build this Morapule plant, the lights will literally go off. Because Botswana has already been told by South Africa that South Africa will no longer export electricity to them because they have an energy shortage of their own. And Botswana doesn't have the time to spend in developing non-renewable resources for energy in the time frame when the lights are going to go out.
He says South Africa is already using advanced technologies to reduce the amount of pollution coming from power plants that use coal. The World Bank estimates that up to $75 billion will be needed to help developing countries adapt to climate change. Some donors have been reluctant to increase funding to the bank, but Devarajan says they should realize that aid has become more efficient in Africa over the past decades thanks to fiscal reforms and improved transparency. And aid saves lives. Devarajan says in industrialized countries, the recession may lead to temporary job losses, But economic decline in developing countries can lead to the death of children from disease and malnutrition. He says that's as permanent a shock as you can get. I'm William Eagle in Washington.